Good evening. Right, again, good evening.
Good evening.
So today is the beginning of our launch of our discipleship streams. How we have a vision for what discipleship looks like here in Willowfield and how we can all be a part of that. Discipleship is one of those things that we hear. It's a word that if you've been about church for any sort of length of time, you've probably heard it before. Sometimes it's one of those words that you hear and you wonder what's that about, I know, or I should be better at that, or I should be able to do that. And so sometimes we say it and say it and say it and say it, but actually this time we want to say it and then try to plug you into the tools that enable you to be the best disciple that you can be. Being a disciple is about being a follower of Jesus in Christian terms. That we all follow different people and different organizations in the world around us. Some of us are football fans, others rugby. Some of us follow celebrities. Some of us follow celebrities who aren't really celebrities, they're just celebrities because they're celebrities. And they haven't really done anything to be a celebrity, but now they're a celebrity, and so we follow them. And the cycle goes on and it goes round. And sometimes we follow people on Twitter or on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever it is that you use as a social media. So following is a concept that is actually very ingrained in us and in our culture in this current age. But following Jesus is not something that's ingrained in the culture and the world around us. The Greek word, I'm not going to go on like this for the whole evening, but the Greek word for disciple literally means to be a learner. And so a disciple of Jesus is someone who learns. Someone who learns from Jesus. How do we learn from Jesus? We read the scriptures. We spend time in prayer and we soak and we listen to people around us. We worship together as a body of believers, as a church. We hear teaching that will hopefully inspire us and connect us into a deeper walk with Him. We meet with other believers who encourage us or who challenge us. We allow older Christians, people who have been on a journey longer than us, to speak into our lives and to tell us where maybe we are not doing things quite right and how we can do them that little bit better. So being a disciple is about being a learner. We're called to be disciples where we are planted. Often whenever we talk about being a disciple, we talk about following Jesus. We talk about stepping out in faith to go where He has called us to go, to do what He has asked us to do. Often we imagine that that is something that is big and out there or over there, or that we're going to have to transition to or move to. But actually, the scriptures call us to be learners of Jesus right where we are, in our schools, our universities, in our workplaces, in our churches, in our homes, in our streets, whenever we're buying our shopping, wherever it is that we are, He calls us to be His disciple. We were recently in the North Coast and we went to the Lodge Hotel for something to eat. We got a lovely meal. It was a quiet, peaceful meal. The children were on a sleepover with their auntie, and so it was one of those romantic gazing across the table moments. I'd done more of that than she did. It's probably obvious why. But whenever we got to pay for the bill, being the gentleman that I am, it's all the one money anyway. But anyway, I went to pay for the bill and I went up to the desk and the lady who was serving us produced the bill. She set it down in front of me and she said how much it was. And I thought, that's not how much I think it should be. And you know that moment where you're thinking, and so I'm kind of glancing at the bill to see what's on it and trying to tot it up in my head to work out where she's went wrong. And then she says, oh, is there something wrong, sir? And I says, the bill doesn't come to what I thought it was going to come to. And she says, oh, have I overcharged you for something? And I says, no, actually, you've undercharged me. I thought I owed you more than that. She just stopped and looked at me and was kind of like, what? Well, what do you mean? And I says, well, we got this, this, and this, and this, and this, and I thought we needed to pay for that. And she says, oh, no, that's in the early bird menu type stuff. I says, oh, brilliant. Thanks very much. But there's something in that There's something in that, because whenever we live by a different set of rules, whenever we live out our lives in a different way, whenever we stand out from the crowd, whenever we do something that makes other people think, then they begin to ask questions. Why is he doing that? Why is he admitting that he owes me more money? Most people kind of go, oh, thanks very much, and run away. Why did he admit that, even though he is from Ballymena? Why did he actually say that? Because how you live your life will be reflected in the things that you are passionate about. How you live your life will be reflected in the things that you are passionate about. How you live your life will be reflected in how much you are learning from Jesus if you are his follower. It's by asking yourselves, what would he do in that situation? And actually, as we look at the scriptures now, we're going to turn to Romans chapter 12. If you have a Bible with you, I'd love you to go through it with me. Maybe you have it on your phone and you want to turn it up that way. That's perfectly fine. After we do the reading, make sure you put it away again. Don't go onto Snapchat and do funny faces of me. So we're going to turn to Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. It says this: let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, but be fervent in spirit and serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so you'll heap burning coals in his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That passage is commonly called the marks of the disciple. And actually, if we go through each of those, if we begin to study that and read that, I really encourage you to go home this evening and tomorrow and to pore over that passage in Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 21. Begin to pore over it. Read a different mark of a disciple every day. Spend some time reflecting and thinking about it, because actually, whenever we hear those things, they go against the grain of our culture and our society. Let love be genuine. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Outdo one another in showing honor. That's a wonderful phrase, isn't it? Outdo one another in showing honor. But how often do we try to get one over on somebody else? Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Don't be slothful in zeal, but be fervent in spirit and serve the Lord. Contribute to the needs of the saints and show hospitality. Be constant in prayer. Bless those who persecute you. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Don't be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil. Give thought to what is honorable. If possible, as far as depends on you, live peaceably at all. Never offend yourself, but leave it to God. Those are the marks and the characteristics of what it means to be a learner and a follower of Jesus. And those are the things that will set you and I apart from everybody else. Because whenever we live with those as the passion that overflows from our hearts, people will sit up and say, what's that about? What are you doing that for? Why do you think like that? Why are you not feeling like this? Why do you not want to get one over on them? Why are you standing back and being honorable whenever actually you could be doing stuff behind that person's back? Why are you doing that? That gives us a wonderful opportunity for a conversation about how we love and follow and learn from Jesus. It's about being faithful and fruitful. Whenever we are faithful to what we are called to, whenever we are faithful to the Word of God, whenever we are faithful to what we have to do as learners and as followers of Jesus, then we become fruitful. We bear fruit. That's what the Scriptures encourage us to do. Bearing fruit, what does that mean? It means that God works through us and that there is a change and a transformation in our lives and the lives of the people that we come in contact with. And being a disciple is about taking a step. About taking a step of faith and then taking another step after that. And then another step. And then another step. And then another step. And then another step. Until you're in a place that you didn't think you were ever going to get to. But it all happens one step at a time. Often, sometimes, we want to get over there and we've never actually taken the first step. We've never actually said, have my heart, Jesus. We've never actually said, I want to be a follower of you. I want to learn from you. We've never actually said, have it all. Less of me and more of you, Jesus. And unless you actually say that and take that step, there's no point in going over there. Because over there it'll be empty whenever you look back. It's about taking the first step of coming to faith, of accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior, following him, accepting what he has done on a cross for you, that he died to wipe it clean. There's nothing that we've done. There's no far that we've fallen that he cannot redeem us and lift us out and hug us and love us and forgive us and redeem us and restore us. And then we take another step. And we learn just another little bit about him. And just another little bit about him. And we learn another little bit about him. And we're rebuked and we're challenged by those who are farther down the journey than us. And so we learn a little bit quicker and our steps become a little bit faster. And we grow a little bit deeper and a little bit farther. And then we look back and we realize that we're in a position where we can then speak to other people about how we have followed Jesus and how that has impacted our lives. And we can pass it on to someone else. Because investing in another person simply means that you're just a few steps further in the journey than what they currently are. Get a little flyer on your way out this evening about discipleship streams. Much of what this talks about is not rocket science. Much of what this talks about is not new. Much of what is talked about in this leaflet actually already happens here in Willowfield. But what this is about connecting it all together so we speak with one language, one heart, and one voice. And so we say we want each of us to grow as disciples and followers and learners of Jesus. And so there are different streams for you depending on where you are and how you need to grow. Alpha has been happening here for years, but Alpha is one of our discipleship streams. And so if you're looking to explore faith, ask questions about life, then Alpha is the stream that you need to plug into. Maybe for you, it's about drawing around with other people. It's about having that fellowship and that challenge of a closer knit community of 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 people. And so, and reading God's word and learning from that. So a life group's for you, meeting informally in someone's home. Maybe you're a teenager and you can hook into some of the youth stuff that Dougie's doing through Pursue. Every so often here in Willowfield, we do one-off courses for 4 or 6 weeks looking at specific topics and different ideas. And those are going to be called focus streams whenever we do that too. And maybe a couple of times a year, where we really plug into a particular people group here in Willowfield and invest into them to give them the tools for what they need. And then we're launching a new one called Word to Action. An opportunity to gather on a weekly basis, maybe in a bigger group, and to really study God's word on a much more deeper level in a way it will be taught from the front, and then that will be moved out into action. And we'll hear more about each of those next week again as I begin to teach and finish the teaching through this launch again next Sunday. But these discipleship streams are streams because streams bring life. They're not stagnant. A mountain stream brings life to everything there is around it. It's not a place of stagnation. And actually, sometimes as believers, as followers of Jesus, the thing that we do best, can I say that, is that we become stagnant and we sit still. But that's not what's best for us. That's sometimes what we're really good at. And we all know what happens to a stagnant pool. Over time, it becomes smelly and it brings death and not life. Maybe you're finding yourself in that place tonight. Maybe you're finding yourself in the place where actually the old-fashioned kind of Christian term would be you've dried up. You're not sure where to go. You're not sure why you feel this way. You need a fresh touch from God. You need the Lord to touch you. Please never come to the point of response tonight. Come forward and be prayed with and prayed over that God would touch you afresh and restore you into a beautiful place with Him again, because there is nothing that is irredeemable from Him. We need to, if we want to be disciples, we need to dig in. We need to get on with it. We need to read our Bibles and we need to pray. And actually, that's what's lacking in this generation. Our ability to read our Bibles and pray on a consistent basis. Do it casually. We do it whenever we feel as if we want to do it. And we don't actually stick at it. And that's very harmful to you as a believer. It's very harmful to your walk with God. You're approaching a relationship with God in a casual way. And then you'll look back in a few months or a few years and you'll say, oh God, why are you not here? Please not allow that to be the sin of this generation, that we neglect the scriptures and our time of fervency, our time of passionate prayer with the Lord. A rightly ordered heart leads to a rightly ordered life. A rightly ordered heart leads to a rightly ordered life. If you and I, the preacher included, if we get our hearts right, we get in a place where we become so passionate, so in love with Jesus, then our lives will reflect that. But often we try to do it the other way around. We try to get our lives right first so we're reflecting Jesus, and our hearts will catch up with us somewhere, we think. But cart before the horse. A rightly ordered heart leads to a rightly ordered life. You know, part of my story is that whenever I became a Christian, I was very jealous. One of those things you shouldn't be, isn't it? I was very jealous of other Christians because they seemed to know so much more of the Bible than me. They seemed to have the right words whenever they prayed. They seemed to have an answer whenever somebody asked them a question. And seriously, they were able to like just drop Jesus in the conversations, and I was like, how do you do that? And I was so jealous of how they were able to do it. That jealousy stunted my growth as a disciple, as a learner and a follower of Christ. I was so wound up in how other people were doing it, and I had no time to do it myself. And it was only after a very wise man who was older in the tooth than me and who was longer in his journey with God than me, he drew alongside me and he says, son, that comes whenever you spend time reading and praying and you put the hard work in, because disciples are made in the mundane. But often we don't like that. We don't want that. It's too hard work. We want it now. We want to be like that Christian who's able to do all that stuff, and we want it now. Do you remember, as I started, we take one step and then we take another step. It doesn't work trying to stride and run the way over there. My jealousy stunted my growth as a believer, as a disciple, as a learner, as a follower of Jesus. Because I wasn't willing to put in the hard work. I wasn't willing to sit in the mundaneness of normal life and carve time out of it to read and to pray and to spend time with God, to spend time worshiping and listening to other believers, to draw alongside people who would feed me, who would encourage me, and who would challenge me. Because often, actually, as a generation, we want people to encourage us, but we're not so keen whenever they challenge us. But that's important, and it's necessary. And if you're a disciple who is being a disciple, then you'll make other disciples. But often we get so wrapped up in how are we to make other disciples that we stop actually being one. But if you're being a disciple, if you're living out these marks of a disciple in Romans chapter 12, if you let love be genuine, if you love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor, if you're not slothful in zeal, but you're fervent in spirit, you're rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, constant in prayer, if you contribute to the needs of the saints and seek and show hospitality, if you bless those who persecute you and bless and do not curse them, if you rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep, if you live in harmony with one another and not haughty but associate with the lowly, if you repay no evil with evil but you give thought to what is honorable, possible you're living peacefully with all, if you don't avenge yourself but you leave it to God, if you don't overcome evil by evil but you overcome evil with good, then your life will overflow with Jesus. I'm not saying you have to do all those things right now and you have to tick that off as a wee list and then everything's going to be okay. But actually what that scripture is teaching us is that our attitude and our habits and our lifestyles should be markedly different from the people around us. And if it's not, then you're going to have to ask yourself a hard question. And you know, part of what my jealousy was in me, I played the blame game. And because I wasn't as good as all those other people, that wasn't my fault. That was my minister's fault because he wasn't teaching me properly. That was my Sunday school teacher's fault because they didn't obviously teach me the memory verses that they should have so I could quote them in the conversations whenever they came up. That was my friends' faults because they should have challenged me or fed into me. I played the blame game and I passed responsibility to other people. And I said, I'm not as good as I should be because X, Y, or Z. Please don't do that. We need to rise up and take responsibility for our own walk with God. Yes, as church leaders, yes, as people here in leadership and other organizations, we have a responsibility to enable and to encourage and to empower and to release people to the best of our ability. And as the scriptures say, we'll be judged harsher because we stand in a position of leadership and of teaching. But you also have to rise up and take responsibility for your own walk with God. You need to be faithful and fruitful. Faithful and fruitful. Can you just imagine for a moment if we, as disciples, as followers, as learners of Jesus, woke up to the potential in our lives, in our schools, in our offices, in our hospitals, in our workplaces, in our churches, in our communities, in our homes, in our families? Can you just imagine what God would do? So the question is this: will you take that next step? Because for each of us, it's probably going to be a different step because we're all on a different part of our journey with God. But will you take the next step that He is calling you into? These discipleship streams are only vehicles and tools that you can plug into. Next week, we're going to have a bookstall at the back by the Bookwell. I'm able to pass on resources for a 20% discount. Resources that will help us grow in our walk and in our faith. We need to rise up and take responsibility for ourselves. Because your growth will come in the everyday. Those moments whenever everything around you is going well, those are the moments when you need to praise Jesus. Those moments whenever the world seems to be caving in around you, those are the moments you need to cry out but to Him and before Him. But it's more than that, because actually, if you haven't put the work in before those moments come, whenever they come, it can be harder to see what it is that you need to do. And so it's in the here and the now, it's in the everydayness of life that disciples are made, disciples are shaped, and disciples grow. And it's all with just one more step. Just one more step. Let's pray as the worship team come back.